I surely was pleased when Gwen texted me and asked about song selection. I tried to call him back during the ball game, one of many, you know, on Saturdays with your grandkids. And he said, "We know this song, Ancient Words." I didn't know it hardly at all until I heard about 150 young men sing it. And it was such a resonating message. And I hope you'll allow us to think about those ancient words together this morning. I've got an announcement here that's on the back table that says we're having Bible studies in the Gospel of Mark. Oh, I said Bible studies. I should say Bible readings. We did do some studying along with it. We had a bunch of folks there. Tim Meeks was right there reading to us, and a buddy was on my right, and a lot of you were there participating. We had folks from the community, brethren from various places that got together last week. It was rainy, but it was warm. So I'm not sure about Tuesday. Tim's going to give me the update after our assembly today about what do we do on Tuesday. You know, it's one thing for us young folks that are 65 to get out in sub-zero temperatures, but to ask the 90-year-olds, that may be a different story. So we're just not sure how to do that. If you have questions about whether we'll be meeting at 10 o'clock and at 2, please just kind of text us or give us a call, and we'll try to make a judgment that's in the best interest of everyone. The goal is to read through the Gospel of Mark in the next 9 weeks now. So thanks to all of you who shared in that. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you've taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Well, I wish I could just say that with confidence, that that's always been the way I've lived, but it's not. And I wonder about this psalmist. As you open your Bible to that 119th psalm, let me walk with you just a little bit about what's going on background-wise. Last week, we looked at the second longest psalm, and that was 78. We want to ask you a little bit more about that. How'd that go for you? Some of you decided that you were going to start a new routine, I believe was the word. And one of you sent me a video of your son reading. And Grandma and Grandpa came to the rescue with the Read and Grow Picture Bible. And you read it. And Dad said, "We think this is going to be our new routine." Well, it takes at least 21 days for that to become a habit. How'd you do that first week? What did you read with your children? You know, we looked at fathers reading to their children. It was kind of neat to see the child reading to the father. So today's lesson is really to commend that, to encourage that, and to now look at the longest of the Psalms, just briefly. And so as you're looking in that 119 psalm, you see some letters about every 8 verses. Those letters are the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 consonants. And for every one of those letters, there's 8 verses that make a stanza. So you've got 22 stanzas. You know, when you finish with Psalm 78, if you're looking for other reading material, I got the next 22 days covered for you. And so Psalm 119 would be just, what would it take? Maybe a minute or less to read about those 8 verses to share with your children, either in the morning or evening or perhaps in the middle of the day, just to be sharing those ancient words. I have a secondary motivation in all of this. I have a young friend who's been very, very ill. You know his name. And I've been concerned for him in regard to how he's dealing with all of this heartache and difficulty and discouragement as his health has been really, really tentative. And due to the fact that this is a recording, I'm trying to be cautious and careful about all that. Let me just say that yesterday and today, the hemoglobin was up more today than it was yesterday. And that's really, really great news. But I remember years ago when I was reading Psalm 119, and I came across these verses, right about verses 67 or so. Verse 66 says, "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." So many times when we see heartache, we see loss, we see loss of health, we see our children sometimes pass away, and it's such a hard thing for us to deal with. And in verse 71, it says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." And so those crucibles of life when things are really, really hard, they can make us better. They can refine us to be even more useful tools in God's kingdom. So if you would move on to verse 92, in verse 92 of the psalm there, "If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts." I remember a man probably close to 30 years ago telling me after a heart disease attacked his young, strong body, that if I hadn't known God and I hadn't trusted Him before this, I would not have come to trust Him now. And so moms and dads, as you're sharing these ancient words with your children, you're preparing them for all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of crucibles in life, all kinds of affliction, times in the hospital, times when their best friend dies, and we don't understand why. So these ancient words can be so helpful to us as we share them with our children. So I want you to remember that our deeds can never be greater than our thoughts. And our thoughts can never be greater than our knowledge. If we don't know the truth, if we haven't imparted the truth to our children, they can't do well if they don't know well. We can't do well if we don't know well. So what you're doing in those nightly routines, what you're doing in those mornings as you're reading and you're praying and you're visiting with your children around the table at dinner time, you're teaching the ancient words of life, how we cope, how we move forward in those times. And so you see that rescue. And this is what I sent yesterday as I was reading 119. I sent it up to that hospital because I know this young man loves God. And I know he's trusting God. But if his law had not been his delight, he may have perished in that affliction. I hear him sing. I can hear him standing here. I can hear him standing down. "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I've sought your precepts." There was a recent Facebook post. Bobby, do you have those copies now, or are they available? Thank you, Laxon. I was looking for more copies of that material. You don't have to give yours up. But Grady here is going to need one, and Warren's going to need one. And some of the rest of you, if you'll go ahead and just raise your hand, this is the outline that some of you didn't get. I made 50 copies of the outline. And what I'd like you to do is write down your answers. The reason I'm picking on you, if Laxon's got one, I don't want you guys to feel left out, okay? And crew may even want one, and somebody else at Tobin's wanting one. And so I thought 50 copies would be enough. You scarf those up, that's really good. So I'm wanting you to write in your answers as we walk through these ancient words. And thank you for making additional copies. It will help you if you write it down. You're going to hear it, you're going to see it, and you're going to feel it. And so writing down your answers can be really helpful as we move forward. I'm thinking this is a woman who wrote this. I don't know. This was a Facebook post I came across recently. It responded to these ancient words, faithful words. They're only valuable to us as they transform us, as they change us. And so as it just sounds to me, and I don't know who wrote this. I wish I did to give her or him credit. But here's what this individual said. I might speak my mind and wound with my rash words and let loose the tide of my fleeting feeling. I might do that if those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart. A wise man quietly holds it back. And so when I'm reading through this Facebook, I'm thinking, where does it say that? I know that's in there. I wonder what translation that is. And so I think it may be ESV, the English Standard Version, because it says a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And so dads, moms, instead of just letting somebody have it for what they did in traffic right in front of us, maybe we could just bite our tongue and not say what immediately came to our mind. Because little ones, little ears are listening. And they're determining, is my dad wise or is my dad foolish? What kind of woman is my mom? How does she respond to adversity? So this is going to be a simple lesson. This author goes on to say, I might twist the truth and bring someone down to lift myself up and share things not mine to repeat. When we mature, when we grow, we learn that not everything everybody shares with us is to be shared with anybody else. That's not betrayal, that's confidence, that's protection for everyone involved. And if those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart that we're not to have any unwholesome word proceed out of our mouth, that we're not to let any corrupt talk come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear. Be watching for grace. I hope that's going to be a theme for our whole year. That we graciously respond rather than trying to tear other people down. Our kids listen to how we speak about others. You know, I might let the flesh go too far and give in to my desires and let loose all restraint. If those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart, he's going to make a way of escape. If I'll look for that way, Satan won't take me down. So let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. That God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so when your teen is left alone at home and the temptations of the flesh are hammering at him or her, if they know God's not going to put anything in front of me that I can't overcome with his power, he's going to provide me a way of escape. Now let me start looking for the exit. If they know that, then their deeds can be commensurate with their knowledge and look for a way of escape, as well as all of the rest of us. I don't know what you make of this, but yesterday I got a text from my friend Greg. He had received this from a brother that said, if Satan can talk angels out of heaven, he can talk you into hell. Now, there's a lot going on there with the devil and his angels. I don't know if he talked to angels out of heaven. Something happened. But if he can do that to angels who are in heaven, he could certainly talk us into visiting long-term with him in hell. So be careful what voices you listen to. Next point of consideration here, as we're kind of walking through Psalm 119. You know, I might rely on riches and trust in my own strength and be given to greed if those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart, don't be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do your kids know that? Do your children see you fretting? Do your children see you worried and stressed because I just lost my job? For me, it was third grade. For me, it was that 9 months of dad being, quote, on strike. And strikes in West Virginia are not pretty things. People get killed. And to know what it was to have what we called powdered milk, powdered eggs, commodity goods. You know, can't remember a single meal I missed. Not a single meal. But I know that that was one of the best times in our family. We worked better as a family. We trusted God. Brethren came to the rescue. People helped Dad have work. God took care of us. And He will you too. But your kids need to know that in advance before the strike. They need to hear that now. So I might insist on my own way and demand my rights and retaliate against those who hurt me. If those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart to consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. When you look at what they did to Jesus, the perfect sinless Son who was compassionate and gracious and merciful all the time, and they did that to Him. When somebody says something mean or ugly to you, your kids are watching. They're listening to see how you'll respond. I might grow weary. I might lose heart. I might let my courage fail. If those ancient words don't whisper in my heart, He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men are going to do to me. Do your children observe confidence in Christ? God's not going to leave me. God's not going to desert me. God is not going to forsake me. Do you ever need to hear that, Mom and Dad? You might need to hear it in the hospital. You might need to hear it when your kids are in the hospital. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So those are just ancient words that are so helpful for us to just kind of have in our minds at all times. But when bad things happen to good people, just like Asaph in Psalm 73, we want to think, hey God, where are you? I thought you were going to take care of me. I might doubt His goodness. I might question His justice and wonder about His ways if those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. You know, our brother Steve talked about the times of Jeremiah. And as Jeremiah is writing that lament over the destruction of Jerusalem, right in the middle of that five, what we call chapters section, we hear the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Gwen, I wanted to throw that one in too. Do our kids hear us say that when things are crumbling in our lives? Great is your faithfulness. Your mercy, your love, it's new every morning. I can tell you exactly where I was the first time I ever heard somebody quote that. I guess I'd never read Lamentations or I hadn't paid any attention. But when Colin Stringer prayed that at breakfast, having come down from Brno in the Czech Republic to Budapest, that's right. But I'd forgotten the ancient words if I'd ever known them. So our kids need to hear us sing, "Great is your faithfulness." The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Our kids need to hear that from us and see it lived out in us. And so I might despair in my failures and know that I was a lost cause and doubt His love could reach me. Do you remember our reflection service? Remember the big tall guy that got here and spoke and just blew us away with the wonderful things that he said? All of us have been slain by the devil. And we just feel like, I'm dirt, I'm dust. In fact, we just kind of feel real low, kind of as low as a worm. David understood because he said, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make their mouth me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him, for He delights in him. Yet You are He who took me from the womb. You made me trust You at my mother's breast. On You was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb You have been my God." I was one of those blessed kids whose mom and dad taught me to love God from the beginning. Daryl, I think you said something like that. My parents taught me well. You had ancient words that were whispering in your heart, and they're so valuable. Your kids need to hear that in the dark days of their life when they may walk away from God momentarily. They need to know that God's door is always open. God's light is always on, and mom and dad's heart is always open for you to come back. We're reflecting the heart of God, yes? And isn't it interesting that this same psalm is much of what Jesus felt and quoted while He was facing the cross? So I might think I was something. I might look haughtily at others' struggles and lack compassion for weary souls if those ancient words didn't whisper in my heart. Some of us don't have cancer yet. Far as we know, we may not know. Some of us may not have had bankruptcy, as far as we know. Some of us may have never had a day without work, as far as we know. Some of us may have perfect kids and grandkids, as far as we know. The rest of us know better. And so it's so easy for us to be arrogant with others who struggle. I'm just thinking of a flood of emotions right now about death and loss. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen to us. So pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Do you ever wonder about why Saul of Tarsus, the slayer of Christians, was so determined, so committed to living for Christ every day? He tells us. He says, "It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." When we recognize the depth of what God has done for us, we are driven to do every last thing we possibly can to serve Him. And we understand that grace and mercy, when we understand them, make us want to be God's holy people. That's what drives us to holiness. is all that God has done for us, the mercy that He's expressed to us, how gracious He's been to us, knowing what we deserve, and then what He extends. And so that's what he writes to Titus. For by the grace of God, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for everybody, all people. Grace teaches. Grace trains. Grace instructs. Hey, kids, when your parents are telling you this is what you need to do, they're being gracious. Now, it may not feel that way right now, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're being gracious. Gracious action is instructive for wholesome conduct. That's exactly what Titus says there, or the Holy Spirit says. It teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. When your parents are getting on you, when your parents say, straighten up, when your parents say, you know better, well, if they've taught you, you know better. But it's their grace that is taking those nightly routines and reading the very words of God, ancient words, they're sharing with you so that you might live and that you might cope in this world. This sermon started out by thinking about the prophetic word of God. It morphed. But as you think about those words, I want you to consider the salvation, the old man Peter says. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, they searched, they inquired carefully. They were trying to figure out, who is this? Who's this person who's going to come? Who is this Messiah? How's he going to look? What's he going to be like? What's he going to accomplish? But they're telling you about the sufferings of Jesus. And that just blows their mind, just like it did the eunuch in Acts 8. It just blows his mind that who is this servant? Who is this suffering servant I keep reading about in all these chapters? And then the subsequent glories of what's going to come, how God's going to take what looks like defeat and make it a triumph. It was revealed to them that they're serving not themselves, they're serving you. All of the work, all of the messages, all the writing, all the suffering, it wasn't for them, it was for us. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels are trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? How are you doing all that? Why are you doing that for humans? And the prophets are being told, you don't see it, you don't get it, you don't understand it, but you're doing this for people who are yet to come. That's the grace of God for us to see the sufferings and the glory of Jesus. Now, we're just going to kind of real quickly just kind of walk through some of what the ancient words do for us. If you can write down fast, I would like to have a verse. If you get some verses that I don't have, go ahead and throw those in, show them to me afterwards so I can fill in my blanks. God's Word instructs us. That's so much of Psalm 119. It reveals our heart. It lifts our countenance. It lifts us up. I'm thinking, you, O Lord, are a shield about me. Oh, that would have been another one. From Psalm 3. It leads my conscience. It tells me that I know that there are certain things that are right and certain things are wrong, and I need to understand what those are. And so it changes my mind. It transforms my thinking. And that thinking then transforms and reforms my life. I will teach transgressors, God. When I come back to you, I will, David said. It also upholds my faith. It gives me an undergirding for why I believe, why I trust. It comforts me in my pain. Remember, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It's going to refine my thinking and my deeds. It's going to ground me. It's going to ground my feelings. I might feel this way, but I know God is good. I know God is just. I know God is righteous. His ancient words have taught me that. So even though I'm feeling really badly right now, that's not good thinking. That's stinking thinking. And so it focuses my perspective, just as it did for Asaph when he thought, the whole world's going to the devil. I'm the only one left trying to serve you. What's the use of trying to serve you? Everybody else gets rich. My good family dies. They're hungry. They're being afflicted. So it guards my path and it guides me home. This psalm just kept coming back in the readings yesterday. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Some of you are here today because you had to work today. But because you wanted to be here, you ask your employer, can you give me an hour to come and be with my family and worship the Lord? I'm so proud of you for that. So let me be very brief and rethink a few of those ancient words. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They were sound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength. Help us cope. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. I hope this lesson has been a source of... I remember a man one time, I think, trying to make fun of me, said, you're like a cheerleader. I thought, that's okay. If I'm cheering people on to heaven, so be it. I want to be your cheerleader, and I want you to be mine. And let's just help ourselves, and let's help our kids, and let's read these ancient words, and recognize that they're words of life, words of hope that help us cope. If you're not yet in Christ, He's the one who is the true life giver. We invite you to obey Him as we stand and sing.
Looking to Thee from day to day, trusting Thy grace along the way, knowing that Thou wilt save the King. Always.